sidekick, Clever Junior.
Crap.
Join Junior along with the Wayne Borges Band as he makes any kind from Hawaii. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Junior, Clever Junior.
I'm going. Ah, Hawaii's done. Hey, Hawaii's. How's it? Welcome to the podcast. I'm Junior Kikoeva Jr. And boy, do we have a good podcast for you today. Yeah, you're going to learn something. This is the law of attraction, okay? Or let's say positive thinking, if you want to say that. Because some old timers that have listened to my show, and these are guys older than me, goes, oh, what is the law of attraction? Okay, I'm gonna detail it out for you today, okay? But first, the attitude of gratitude. But first, how is, right? Okay, so, and this is also a comedy podcast. I try not to get, like, too ridiculous, like, too funny, because, you know, some people come here for education, and they get offended. Like, if I'm too stupid, they will turn off the podcast. And then, on the other hand, right, I got people in Hawaii, because I'm here in Hawaii, and people in Hawaii that know me for comedy, if I don't do comedy, they're going to change the podcast. So anyway, you know, when I was doing radio back in the day, right, we imagined this finger pushing the button in the car radio. Because in the old days, we had buttons. There was buttons in the old days. But that's what they told you. They said, hey, look, if you're doing something stupid, just picture that finger pressing the button and changing the channel. And that's your job. And like, we was like, whoa, like our job could just evaporate because of that. But anyway, attitude of gratitude. So we have the same countries, okay, but we added Nigeria and Romania. So we have actually two new countries. So, and I know a girl in Romania. Oh, she's a sweetheart. Anyway, that's another story for another time. Okay, so the platforms, I got to tell you guys, Apple Podcasts, only 47%. Spotify, 15%. Web browsers, 12%. iHeartRadio, 12%. You remember when, you know, Apple Podcasts was like 80-something percent? And then my producer Jay goes, okay, no, we got to fix this. And he wiped out like my whole thing. I had to do another season, like all over again. But anyway, it was worth it. Now, we do have 1% of people 17 and young, yeah, like up to 17. So, because 13-year-olds technically can come on the web and listen to us, okay? So, and that's why we keep it clean. We keep the show clean. 18 to 22, okay? We have a small portion of those people. 23 to 27 gets bigger. 28 to 34, we got a lot of millennials, a lot of those people. And millennials, of course, 35 to 44. And then after that, 45 to dead. So 35 to dead, basically. A lot of people and more people joining us from more locations. So I want to say thank you to you guys. Males, 63% of our audience now. You remember how it used to be like that? And then the females took over and now it's the men again. So females, 36%. Thank you, ladies. Love you guys. Really love you, ladies. Anyway, hey, what are you doing? Okay, so I got to tell you why. Okay, now here's the life coaching part, right? Now I got to tell you why. Because the majority of my clients forever have been women. Okay, chicks dig me. I don't know. They just dig me. So, I mean, in 42 states and 56 countries that we broadcast to right now, they dig me. So the ladies that come to me as clients, women feel you. They are feeling emotional beings. They feel you. Okay, so if you're a creep, right, they will stay far away from you. They have this spidey sense, you know. But I owe my career, not only my entertainment career. My entertainment career was actually local people combined. But my career at two of my businesses, my party business, yeah. And then, of course, there's my life coaching business. And, of course, our singing school. So that's another one. That women always come to the singing school. They always bring their daughters because they want their daughters to have confidence. So now we're going to talk a little bit about confidence, a little bit about the human voice and how this works. So when I started out on my journey, okay, and figuring out, like, you know, because the fastest way, the very, very fastest way okay, to get to, you know, confidence is through your voice. It's through the human voice. Now, the other things that you need to do that we give our clients that actually have them manifest things really, really quick is affirmations, meditation, visualization, and yes, vocalization, the voice part, right? But a lot of people don't understand how the voice part works. So we're going to take a little bit of time to do that today. So we're going to explain to you about how the voice fits in to all of this. Like, what? Yeah. So think Nikola Tesla, right? Now, Nikola Tesla told us, if you want to, you know, really understand what's going on in the universe and really understand the universe, then you have to think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. Okay, now what we add to that is velocity. Let me explain. So energy, frequency, and vibration, nothing is static in the universe, okay? Nothing. Now, if you think you're static, if you think you are solid matter, okay, think again, because you're not. Under the right microscope, everything in your body is moving, and it's moving all the time. There is nothing static in the universe, okay? Everything is moving. You just have to be able to see it. Okay, now, sometimes it takes an instrument, like a microscope, right? A certain kind of microscope, and you can see stuff, okay? But just know that you're made up of frequency, okay? Now, frequency affects the human being. Only now, like within the last 20 years, okay, scientists have begun to, get cures for people through sound therapy. So this is where they put you in a sound chamber, right? And they zap you with whatever kind of, but it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt, nothing like that. But the frequency actually depletes things like cancer cells, okay? Things like cells that don't belong, okay? And it actually gets rid of these cells. Now, this is all, you know, experimental at this point. I mean, but they're doing solid research on it. Okay, and we actually had some research from this university, and I had it in front of me. I don't know where it is right now, but they did a study on 432 hertz music. And this was pretty profound. And this was actually, it came out of Japan. And these guys were researching 432 hertz music as opposed to 440, which is what the musical tuning is now. And that, you know, it's kind of long to go into, but I can tell you that if you go on YouTube and you find just search 432 hertz, HZ, that's all. And you'll come up with a whole bunch of different frequencies of music that make you relax. A lot of these things are called solfeggio tones, okay? A lot of these tones. Not all of them. Okay, you gotta know that some of these guys right now, when I look online, these guys are like making up their own stuff, okay? They're making up, you know, like 888 hertz. Like they're making up their own. Like these guys, so you have to kind of watch, okay? I'm not saying that there's a bunch of fake stuff out there, but yeah, people tend to make up their own thing, right? And but the effect on 528 hertz music, for example, has an effect on the endocrine system and the autonomic nervous system. So, and this was done in Japan. This was actually, I don't have the name of the university in front of me, but let me see if I can get that. I'm trying to look through this thing. Anyway, they did it in Japan. So we give the credit to Japan. And it's, if you want to look it up, it's under scientific research. So it's under scrip.org, scirp.org. And you can find the information. Just Google search it or, you know, whatever. So, but the important thing to realize and the important thing to understand is that frequency affects us. Now, let's say you're listening to frequency music, okay? Let's say that you've listened to this stuff for maybe a month and it makes you feel real good and you're this is what you sleep to because they have 8 hours, like 10 hours, 12 hours long on YouTube, and you can just leave it on when you sleep, you know? Sometimes I leave those on, sometimes I leave I am affirmations on, you know, like positive stuff. And but when you do this and you feel good right now, I'm going to turn the tables a little bit. Now, what if you were producing this with your voice? Okay. Because solfeggio tones are in the scale that I play on the guitar. Okay, there's about three of them in there. Not all of them, but there's about three of them. And here's what we noticed, because I saw these miracles happening at my school. Okay, and it used to be called Voice Master Singing School. You can Google that. It's now called Voice Master Vocal Development, because in 2015, I re-imaged everything. And this was for two reasons. Number one, my business partner passed away. And he's the guy that did all the music with me and everything. And so he also, I taught him how to teach voice. He was the consummate musical genius. And he could do anything on the piano. He could play any instrument. He could play ukulele, guitar, you know, whatever. For those of you who may know me personally in Hawaii, I'm talking about Mr. Wayne Borges. So he was the guy that actually taught with me. So when he passed away, you know, I was like, oh man. So what I did was I re-imaged, and I re-imaged for a couple of reasons. For one reason is we started Voice Master Singing School together, and there were three of us. Okay, there was this lady Miley and Wayne and myself, and we started Voice Master Singing School. So at the point where Wayne passed away and Miley had moved on, and it was just, you know, me and Wayne for a while at the school, right? You know, for the remaining years, I decided, well, it's time to do something, you know, different. And so we started catering to people online. And what I mean by that is we started catering to people who were doing webinars, people who needed voice for things other than singing. Mm-hmm. But we never forgot the, you know, singing part of it, right? And I still teach singers. I still do that. I got to say, though, there's an increased demand right now for life coaching. And I started life coaching in 2010. And I'm going to tell that story on how Here For You life coaching happened. Okay. So what happened is, you know, I started seeing differences in people's confidence first. And it was almost like I was sitting there, right? And I mentioned this on the last podcast, a little bit of it. But I was sitting there, right, like observing, being the observer. And I saw these kids and these adults, like, just magnify their confidence. And when their confidence was magnified, everything they did was magnified. And it was kind of like God telling me, hey, you see that? You see that? Look at that. You know, and I was looking, right? But I guess because I believe in God, and because I, you know, I'm more, if you were to have to put me in a category, I'm a spiritual Christian, okay? Which means that I am very, very spiritual in the spiritualistic sense, and I'm not religious, but, okay, here's your big fat but I believe in the Holy Bible. And because, see, if we get real deep, this is not a podcast alliance, but if I get really deep into the Holy Bible, I can explain it to you esoterically, okay, as a metaphor, as an allegory that teaches in metaphor, actually. So it goes kind of deep. So, you know, a lot of times I get these guys and they, you know, these Christian people, and they talk to me and they don't understand the Bible. They don't understand. There's certain things that are linked to higher understandings, put it that way. Okay, it's not like what you hear in church. I went to church and I was very discouraged. I went to church for a little while at this church that was like one of the mega churches here on Oahu, and I was very disappointed. Like they're not doing anything but pep talks. They're not giving any real knowledge. They're doing superficial stuff. They're collecting money and enjoying reaping the harvest. That's what it is. But anyway, because I have this relationship with God, okay, and because God got me, oh man, I used to sleep on the sidewalk, right? God got me off the sidewalk. You know, God got me to the place where I started my first business. My first company was a production company, okay? And it was Wayne and I that started the production company, two of us, right? And I built a recording studio in my house, and the rest, as they say, is history. That company pretty soon turned into, you know, I was teaching on the weekends, but that was just me in the living room. But that turned into Voice Master Singing School, and we started Voice Master Singing School in the recording studio. So people would actually come to the recording studio, and we would start there, right? But here's the thing. We started noticing confidence and we didn't know what was doing it. You know, we kind of like everybody else. We were like everybody else. And we knew because I took classical music training. I had a private teacher. My mom paid for everything, gave me the best education possible. And I had the best teacher. There were two teachers on the island at the time. And I was lucky enough to go to the best one. And she was, oh boy, she was good. And she pushed me farther and harder than I've ever been pushed to do anything. Because normally nobody pushes me around. Normally. But man, my teacher pushed me and I was so grateful. So anyway, fast forward now, okay? Now, 1989, I started teaching. And it was by accident because I taught this girl, Sheila. And she was a teenager. She was 16. And I really liked her talent. I thought she was really cool. And she had a good voice. And I thought, like, what if I magnified that voice, you know? And so it all began like that. And then people, you know, everybody like, oh, can you train my daughter? Oh, can you do that for my daughter, my son, you know? And I started taking people. So finally, one year, I decided I was teaching in my living room, like from 1989, we kept teaching. And then one year I decided, you know what, I'm going to quit my job. And I quit my job and I did full-time teaching. And that's when we started creating the school. We ran ads in the newspaper and, you know, stuff like that. And then we moved down to a commercial space. We were there for 24 years. And in that time, we built the other companies. So, and, you know, we told the story about VMAC on the last podcast and how that came to be. Okay, but we were here doing VoiceMaster from 89. And along the way, in 1990, okay, the next year, we built the recording studio and we taught at home for a while. And then we moved to the space and you know, 24 years at a commercial space. So, but Wayne and I started VoiceMaster Singing School with Miley. And, you know, we went down the road, man. We went on the journey. And so when we noticed these things happening in the kids and the adults, because the adults were no different, and they caught on so fast, right? And I was like, wow, like, how is this happening? So long story short, I did some research because at the time, right around 2008, I started getting into personal development. Okay. And the way that that happened is I was going with this girl and we broke up because she was just a little too interested in everybody else. And I mean, you know, but I loved her and everything, you know, that it was just like I just had to let go. I'm like, one Sunday morning, I was like, you know, all right, aloha, you know, and there's the door. Yeah, your stuff, right? Okay, go. And I just had to for my sanity, for my own peace of mind, you know, and that's not a podcast. In fact, that's not even a podcast online. That's private stuff. But I will tell you that she gave me a DVD called The Secret, right, by Rhonda Byrne. And she said, look, because I was always talking about the next level. Oh, the next level, next company we're going to build, the next thing we're going to do. Yeah, next thing. So you know, the law of attraction tells you, and this positive thinking thing, for those of you who don't understand LOA or law of attraction, this positive thinking thing, like you got to talk about what you want to do, not about, you know, what you don't want. You can't think about what you don't want. You can't want what you don't want, in other words, okay? You gotta think ahead. You gotta push forward. You gotta, okay, I'm gonna do that. I want that. I want that. I wanna do that. I wanna accomplish that. And basically, I was like this from the time I was like, I don't know, ever since I can remember, like 12. I think 12 when I said, yeah, I wanna be like Frank Sinatra and Don Ho and all these guys that you probably never heard of. But but yeah, Dean Martin, maybe you heard of him. I don't know. But I used to watch these guys on TV. So now that we got this confidence thing going on, right? I was in my personal development and I put off watching the DVD for like a year because I was enjoying the way my life was. I didn't want it to change. And my uncle always told me, with knowledge comes responsibility. Once you know something, you cannot get away from that responsibility already. You have a responsibility to it. So I'm like, oh, okay, I don't need knowledge. So I put it in the top drawer of my, you know, of my dresser. And this, the whole story is in my book. And my book is on Amazon. It's called The Universal Law of Attraction and Singing. Cheap plug for the book. But anyway, so what happened was I started doing this personal development journey, right? Because after that 1 year time, I popped it in the DVD player and I'm like, okay, let's see this darn thing, you know? And I put it on and it changed my life. And I gotta say that my ex-girlfriend is responsible for like everything I have right now. Like, it's because of her. It's because she was thoughtful enough, okay, to give me that. And, you know, and as, you know, as a token of appreciation, I took care of her girls. So, you know, I let them come to the school. I made time for them every, you know, once a week and let them come and whatever. So we were never enemies or anything like that. Okay. It's just that we both had two different ideas on how, you know, a relationship should be, right? So anyway, so we, you know, we continue down that road. Now, as I'm learning these things from Rhonda Byrne, from Bob Proctor, from all of these thought leaders, right? Tony Robbins, like all these people. I went through all of these guys, like all of them. And I learned all this stuff, right? Then I start listening to quantum physicists, right? I start like listening to their lectures and I'm going, oh my God, okay, this is vibration that's doing this. This is frequency that's doing this. When you sing, it produces vibration and frequency. Okay, now energy is where it comes from, right? You have whatever you call what's in you, and I'm pointing to my eyes right now, whatever you call what's in here, Hawaiians, okay? If you want to call that energy, if you want to call that, you know, spirit, soul, it's all of that, okay? I said it before, I will keep saying it until everybody, you know, goes, oh yeah, we're spiritual beings. Yes, you are, okay? Energetic beings, if you will, whatever, okay? But I'm going to tell you this. One day your body's going to get too old. It's not going to function, and your energy is going to go. And Einstein already taught us that energy does not extinguish, okay? Energy leaves, but it goes somewhere else, okay? And don't believe in the heaven and hell stuff. Don't. It's a control mechanism. Anyway, all right. So I started learning about frequency and vibration. I go, oh, wow. What effect does this have on the brain? Because confidence, right, to me, right, confidence is somebody who's, like, really relaxed. Like, you look, you know, why is the lion the king of the jungle? Well, because he just kind of kicks back underneath the trees, right? He just kind of looks around when he has to. He, you know, he does whatever. He kills whatever he has to do to eat or whatever, right? But that's what confidence is. It's a laid-back kind of cruise kind of feeling, right? So, right, I do my research. I find out, oh, okay, it triggers oxytocin and endorphins in the brain. Okay, so I'm going down this rabbit hole. This is in 2008. Now, I'm learning this stuff in 2008. I'm learning that, oh, okay, if we get these guys to produce frequency, because we take them way up the scale, like way up, as high as they can go, right? And I go, oh, that's triggering the endorphins. That's triggering the oxytocin. Oh, and by the way, repeated applications of this, right? Or you could call it a treatment if you want, but it's basically a session. Okay, we used to call it lessons, but we weren't really teaching anything. We were just having them do this, right? And so repeated sessions of this or applications of this, right, started calming people. And I'm telling you, I saw little kids that had autism. Okay, now I'm making no medical claims, all right, just so you know. But autism, like I saw this little boy, he used to jump all over the couch, right, in the waiting room. I brought him inside. I told his dad, I said, let me, you know, I was training his sister. I told his dad, let me try it on him, you know, let me try. And I got him to do it, right? And after I got him to do it, like he settled down, like he was just calm. And he sat in front of, we had this big TV on the wall, this huge, you know, big screen. And we had a karaoke thing on, attached to it, right? And we had YouTube and whatever. I put on YouTube and he could just sit there and sing. And he sat there and he sang with the songs that were on YouTube. And these little kid songs, you know. But he sang, he sat there and he, you know, and I'm like, whoa, different guy, right? Now, I could go on and on. There was this little boy. I don't want to mention his name, but there's this other little boy. he didn't want to talk. And I was working with his sister, and his sister was in high school, and he was in elementary school. And so I just mentioned to the mom, like, oh, I know that's, you know, so-and-so doesn't talk very much. He's really quiet. And my thing in life is bringing introverts out of themselves, right? Because I'm an extrovert. So, you know, I'm the kid that got in trouble because he was too extroverted, right? Okay, so I told him, I said, you know, I notice he's really, really quiet. She goes, oh, well, he has autism. He has a form of autism, and he doesn't like the way he sounds, so he doesn't talk. He only talks to us at home, but he doesn't like to talk in public. And I'm like, oh, well, let me work with him, right? So there's a video, actually, of me and him. Of me working with him on our Instagram, Voice Master Vocal Development on Instagram, and you could check it out. But anyway, so he did not like the way he sounded, and so his mom, you know, his mom was like, "Oh, sure, yeah, work with him if you want to." I said, "Yeah, no charge. I just want to help him, you know, because I know how I know how to do this." And so she goes, "Okay," so we did it, and sure enough, in about 1 month, right, he was talking. And she goes, you know, he talks a lot now. Like, he just comes out of himself. He just talks a lot now. And I was so happy when that happened. Okay, because you know, some of the things I don't talk about, you know, on the podcast is I know what suppression is all about. I've been suppressed. I've been severely, if you want to call it, discriminated against. Severely discriminated against. I used to work in a hostile work environment. It was so hostile that one of these girls actually sued the radio station. I mean, it was really hostile. And, you know, and before that one, before that station group, I worked for another station group that was even more hostile, you know. But you're talking, you know, kind of back in the day. I mean, the first one I worked at in 1994, it was pretty damn hostile. In 99, I made the move to another station group. It was not as, well, I didn't think it was as hostile. But then again, I only went a few hours and I was out of there. Okay, so I didn't really understand how hostile it was until I announced my retirement from radio on Facebook. And she came, and she's on my Facebook, and she commented, and she told me what a hostile environment it was. I'm like, really? Because I didn't see it that way. I mean, I was discriminated a lot against and all that stuff, right? But anyway, but I understand what it feels like to be discriminated against, okay? And as a child, it started with adults. I used to scrap with adults, Hawaiians. As a kid, as a little kid, I used to scrap with adults. Adults that were trying to, you know, make me any kind, have me do what, you know, what they wanted me to do, or push me around like that, you know. And I was a very, very rebellious kid. And the more they did to me, the more I fought back, you know, because I didn't care. And I'm still kind of like that inside, although now I'm older. Now I have to realize, hey, you're not that young guy anymore. You better shut up. But I mean, you know what I'm saying, right? But I push back. I don't take it. And what I'm seeing now with my clients on the life coaching end is an onslaught of narcissism. I mean, a lot of these women are coming to me because they got into a relationship with a narcissist. And I'm like, whoa, I totally understand. I used to work with narcissists. You have to understand something. The entertainment industry, okay? And I'm talking about TV, radio, stage, okay? All of those entities. So I'm talking about recording artists. I'm talking about everything involved in entertainment is a hotbed for narcissism, okay? It's a breeding ground for narcissism. I had to look myself in the mirror one day and go, are you becoming a narcissist? You know, because I did a lot of self-promotion because I had to. Because then that meant I didn't have to hire anybody, right? And I wasn't with record companies. So the guys that were at record companies, the record company did that for them. I didn't have that luxury, right? Or let's say, it was actually a luxury not to belong to the record company, but I didn't find that out till later. But you know, it's a hotbed for narcissism. So you see all these guys, right? And so I was here doing my self-promotion, And I was going, wow. At one point, I actually stood in front of the mirror and go, are you becoming a narcissist? Are you a narcissist? The answer was no. I had to check. I had to check with a medical professional, right? A friend of mine, you know, he's a psychologist, right? And I had to talk to him. I think, am I a narcissist? And you know, we went down the checklist. You know, he goes, no, you're not a narcissist. Yeah. Narcissists have no empathy. They don't care. They will just plow you down. They don't care. It's all about them. And that describes like the majority of people in the entertainment world that I worked with. I mean, oh man, Hawaiians, I tell you. But not every one of them is a narcissist. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that that field of work attracts narcissists. I mean, they just, it's like ringing a dinner bell and they all show up. You know that kind of thing? But that's, you know, that's what it is. It is what it is. And so, you know, but back in 2008, I'm going through all this discovery, right? And I'm discovering all of this stuff. By 2010, I decided, you know what? I know exactly how this works. I know exactly how the brain responds to frequency. You know, not only that, but I took it a step further. Like I was like going into, I was looking at string theory. I was studying quantum physics. I was studying, you know, just principles. Like I don't know if you guys are not, most people are not really filled in on this kind of stuff like quantum physics, but, a situation doesn't occur until you observe it. Okay, put it that way. And it's kind of cool because, like, you know, the question, right? Like, if a tree falls in the forest and nobody's there, does it make a sound? You know, and it gets deeper than that, Hawaiians. It gets deeper than that. It gets like, oh, well, so-and-so is in an alternate dimension, and that dimension is right here next to you, but you can't see that because you're in a different dimension. And I was like, what? I was like, no, this is what they're studying. Now, there's another group of scientists calling those guys, you know, pseudo scientists, right? They're not really scientists. They're like making this crap up and nobody can disprove it, right? That kind of thing. So anyway, so I go down the rabbit hole. So I'm studying all this stuff. String theory is pretty interesting. But when you get down to the basics of vibration, okay, in the Bible, in the Holy Bible, it says God spoke the world into existence. And when you really think about it and you do these studies and you go down the rabbit hole and you find out about frequency and vibration and how they affect things, you go, you know what? That is totally possible. Vibration could literally create things. It can literally create things. So now you get into the law of attraction, okay? So you know, from 2008 to 2010, I was heavily into studying this stuff. Like, I went deep, Hawaiians. I went so deep. I can't even tell you everything I studied because I don't have enough time. That's why. But here's the thing you need to know. I'm going to give you the takeaways, okay? So the first takeaway is you can have and do and be whoever you want, whatever you want, okay? As long as you put your mind to it, okay? And when you put your mind to it, things will start to happen and doors will start to open because the vibration says so, okay? It's the vibration that you give. It's the vibration that you are. Okay, now, if you're in a high vibration, okay, so low vibration is stuff like hate, fear, anger, shame, guilt, all of that. Those are low vibrational activities, okay, or states. If you're in that kind of state, then yeah, forget the beautiful home and the beautiful car and the beautiful clothes and all that. Forget that stuff. Forget the money and you know, all of that. It'll come in here and go out here. You know, yeah, you can make fast money. Sure, you can make fast money dealing drugs. You can make fast money doing, you know, selling illegal arms, whatever. But the money comes in, the money goes. You won't be able to, you know, what they call, it won't be able to stick. That's what they say. It won't be able to stick to you. Money won't stick to you. Because it'll come, you'll have a big bunch, and then, oh, you'll have to give it to this or that, or a big bill comes and then you're drained out again. Then you got to go make it again. So anyway, when I found out how this thing happened, right, how this thing works, I go, you know what? Like, this is not fair that only singers know how to do this. That only, in other words, if you want to sing, right, and you call me up and I train you as a singer, you get super, super confident, super relaxed in the head, and everything starts to go good in your life, right? Because your vibration changes. You tune a human being the same way you tune an instrument. So your vibration changes. And if your vibration changes, now you're vibing at a higher vibration. You're attracting better things in your life. But all you really wanted was to be a singer, okay? So in 2010, I started Here For You Life Coaching. I'm like, okay, you know what? We need to do a life coaching thing. We need to do this. Because I had run into one person that was a life coach. And, you know, it was more of a formal, she was a formal kind of life coach kind of thing. There wasn't a lot of substance to what she was doing. There was just like the general things, you know. And she was teaching affirmations and stuff, but the affirmations were a little bit different, you know. It was kind of like the good vibes thing that you see on TikTok and Instagram now. It's not the substance stuff. It's not the core stuff. It's the feel-good stuff. It's the superficial stuff. And I want to tell you, if you're going to live a superficial life, okay, you can do that, okay? But nobody will love you, okay? People will like you. You'll get everybody to like you, or the majority of people that you meet to like you, but they won't love you, okay? Because you're not being your authentic self. Now, when you're authentic, okay, when you're real, like the same guys that meet me in person, they get the same guy that's talking right now. They get this guy. That's it. I'm sorry. That's all I am. Okay. Sometimes people get different ideas about me because they see what I put up online or, you know, stuff like that. And they draw their own conclusions. And then when they meet me, I remember this one lady came to my office and, she came to buy beef jerky. And cause I had Junior's jerky. I had a line of jerky. I still do. I just haven't brought any in since the pandemic. But anyway, so she came and she bought, I think, 5 bags of jerky or something like that. And then on her way out, we were walking down the hall and she goes, you know, you really are down to earth. And it kind of set me back a little bit. I was like, huh? It caught me off guard. And she goes, yeah, you're like down to earth. You're not like we see, like, you know, and I'm thinking, right? And I'm going, ah, she's looking at the posters. She's looking at the videos of me performing, right? So in her mind, she thought, well, you know, I'm doing all this stuff. Like I should be stuck up, or I don't know what she thought, something like that. But she was surprised that I was down to earth. And I was like, oh, baby, this is me. This is all you get. Mm-hmm. But I thought that was funny. You know, people's perceptions, everybody's perception is different. Okay. So when I started teaching in 2010, I said, all right, this is what we're going to do. So I built a website, right? Because Here For You Life Coaching only required an office and a website, business cards, and we started from that. And so I saw people at my office. And I saw some pretty important people at my office. These people were business people, these you know, wives of business people, some very, very important people. And so I started not just teaching them the feel-good stuff, but the spiritual stuff. And when I say spiritual, I don't mean church. When I say spiritual, I don't mean witchcraft. I don't mean any of that. No, I mean like you're that expression of energy that's coming from within. Now, Jesus taught, right? The kingdom is within. Go within. Everybody keeps looking out there. There is no out there, out there. Okay, there is no out there, out there. Okay, now, I know to some people, they go, what? There's no out there. Oh, I look out there, I see something. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Everything out there, okay, excluding nature, came from somebody's in here. It came from somebody's mind. It's somebody's invention. You're listening to me on somebody's invention right now. Okay, so what I mean by there's no out there, out there, yes, you have eyes. Your eyes are to guide you. Your eyes are to, you know, so you can navigate, so you can walk around, so you can see things, so you can appreciate things, right? Now, I had a best friend that was blind. My best friend was blind. And he was my business partner that we started the singing school with. Okay, now he was blind. Okay, but this guy was wise. Oh my God! I can't even go into detail about it. But he was wise, and sometimes he used to just like counsel me, you know. And I used to be like, "What?" Like, and I used to be thinking like, "How does he know? He can't see, right?" But wisdom comes from within. Wisdom is not achieved. Wisdom is granted. Wisdom is granted. And this guy was wise. Hawaiians, oh, you have no idea. So what I did, right, you know, for marketing purposes and everything else, I built him up to be that, you know, like the blind swordsman kind of thing on the movies and before in the old days. And so he would teach the kids. And the kids would think like he had this, you know, mysterious powers and stuff because he was blind, right? And he played, he was a musical genius. He played piano like he was trained to be a concert pianist. And so I just, you know, taught him how to teach voice. I just taught him how to exercise the kids and he did that. And that's what he did. So when the kids came in, he exercised them. Then I came in, I taught them, and we were like that. So when I started doing the life coaching thing, I started scheduling the life coaching times when I didn't have voice students. So I just started, you know, teaching back and forth, right? So sometimes, you know, we'd have voice students come in. Sometimes it'd be life coaching. You know, I'd go in and sit down. And it would be like kind of like going to a therapist. But the difference is that we're having these people express through their voice and they're getting more confident. And I mean, totally more confident. And I've seen it work in every individual that we've tried, like every single person. There's no such thing as failure because everybody can utter a sound. Now, the word phonation means the will to utter a sound. So everybody phonates, okay, either speaking, singing, whatever, with their voice. Now, if you get somebody so scared, okay, and this is the other side of confidence, okay, fear, okay, the other side of confidence is fear. And what we do is we get people out of fear through their voice. Okay. And it's amazing. It's just amazing. But here's the thing, right? When you get somebody in a car accident, if they're in a car accident and they're that shook up, like it was a really bad accident, when they're in the hospital, they can't even talk. They have lost their will to speak. Okay. For a little while until they kind of settle down and then they can talk again. Okay. But that's what we're talking about. Now, I don't have people that are that extreme that come to me that can't talk. Okay, I don't have that. I had that one little boy who didn't feel like talking because he didn't like the way he sounded, right? But that's a different thing. But here's the thing, right? The reason I'm telling you this is so that you can figure it out for yourself in your head, right? Okay, so if fear does that, then what does little amounts of fear do? It makes you insecure. It makes you insecure. It makes you not sure of yourself. And if you're not sure of yourself, that's what we call insecurity. You know, if you question yourself all the time, if you have negative self-talk, if you just do not trust your actions, okay, then you have a problem. The good news is you can fix it through your voice. Okay, the good news is I can fix it for you. Okay, and now we do it online. I do it all across the country. This morning, I was in San Jose. Okay, yesterday, I was in the UK. This very, very lovely lady in the UK, I was working with her yesterday. And I have this guy in the UK that I work with once in a while. He's kind of like here and there now. But when I first work with people, that's when they really get the adjustment. And then after that, it's not a major deal anymore. You know, so they take 1 hour classes from me, right? So it's 1 hour and it's four times a month and we call that a month, right? So they take the 1 hour course. When they take the 1 hour course, okay, we get like by third session, we are like into confidence already. I mean, things have begun to change in their life. Now, after they go through, I want to say 2 to 3 months of our sessions, okay, that's really all they need. Okay, now, if you compare our price to a therapist, we're going to be cheaper than a therapist. Okay, and I had this girl, okay, I cannot mention names, okay, but this girl was referred to me from somebody, right? And I know that somebody, and he's, by law, he's not supposed to say anything, and but she said it, not him, right? So anyway, but what happened was I took her down the road and we went like almost 1 year of training. Okay. And then when that happened, right, towards the end of that year, I just happened to ask her, hey, how's so-and-so, you know, my friend, right? And she goes, oh, I haven't seen him for a long, long time. I thought, oh, but I thought you go to therapy like every week. She goes, I stopped going to therapy like the third month I went to you. And I was like, yeah, like, yeah, I mean, you know, I was happy about that. I mean, it brought me joy because, you know, I want to help. My whole deal, my whole, you know, mission in life is to help people. Lord knows I did a lot. I did enough hassling to people in my 20s. I was terrible. But yeah. Ah, man, starting to lose my voice over here. But anyway, but the thing about it is, right, like these people that I see, this one lady told me one time, she goes, you know, I don't think you know the kind of effect you have on people, in their lives. And it brought a tear to my eyes. It really did. It brought a tear to my eyes, Hoynes, because I was like, whoa, like, you know, I had no idea that people felt that way. I really didn't, because I don't think about myself that way. And, you know, a lot of us don't really, unless we're narcissists or something, right? But we don't think about ourselves that way, right? So that kind of stopped me in my tracks too, you know. And but here's the thing. If you're suffering from guilt, from shame, okay, just know it's rooted in fear, okay? If you're suffering with, like, say, I don't know, stuff in your relationships, you argue, you fight all the time with your other half, okay, your significant other, as it were, okay, then you got to know that it's fear at the bottom of it. It's fear, okay? Negative self-talk. If you're getting that negative self-speak against yourself that you're doing, that you're inventing it, okay? So you just have to be concerned with two things, memory and imagination, okay? Memory, bringing up things that already happened that you should have let go of, okay? So trauma is defined as that memory that sticks out. It sticks out and you keep going back to it. You keep reliving it. You keep bringing it into today from yesterday or from 10 years ago or from 20 years ago. And you bring it into today, you know? So if these things are happening to you, just know it's out of fear. Okay, some people are afraid to just relax and be themselves. Some people are afraid to do that. Some people are just afraid to have no drama going on. Some people are afraid of that because it's not normal, right? It's like you got all this drama going on your whole whatever for the past 25 years, right? And then now you approach that calm and it feels weird. Yeah, because why? Well, because, yeah, you think there should be drama, right? So what does your subconscious do? Your subconscious starts to create drama for you so that you feel at home. Okay, that's memory. Okay, now imagination, that's when your negative self-talk gives you the what ifs. All the what ifs are rooted in fear if they're negative. Okay, oh, what if this happens? What if my chick breaks up with me? Oh, what if I get in a car accident today when I leave the house? Oh, what if? Now, if the what ifs are negative, it's rooted in fear. Okay, and you need to stop that. Now, how do you stop negative self-talk? All right, so now I'm going to give you guys stuff that you can do like today, okay? Today. Use the stop technique. When you get a bad thought, okay, the thing is to say stop first and then switch to a positive thought. Now, I want you to switch to a positive visual, okay? That's the easiest thing to do. So when you get a bad thought, you know, like, you know, I want to go and choke my neighbor. Okay, stop. Okay, stop. And now focus on something. Maybe it's a picture of a baby. Maybe it's a baby you love. Maybe it's a baby that you know. Maybe it's your baby. Okay? Think of your baby. Okay? There you go. Okay? You get in a bad thought? Stop. Think of a new car. Okay? Or whatever. I mean, a pleasant picture in your head that you're going to be able to recall in your mind. Okay? So if you're thinking a bad thought, okay, stop. Think of some flowers. Stop. Think of the mountains. Stop. Think of the ocean. Stop. Think of fishing. Stop. Think of hunting. Things you enjoy. Things that make you feel good. But you got to say stop And it helps to say it out loud at first, okay? Down the road, after you get good at this technique, and what this is just switching from negative thoughts to a positive thought. Now, you have to know that it takes 3 days for negativity to sink in as a belief. It takes 3 days, okay? So if your conscious mind tells you something and you say stop, it doesn't take root in your subconscious, okay? But if you think that negative thought for 3 days, it goes into your subconscious as a belief. A belief is a thought you keep thinking. Now, if you keep thinking a thought, it starts to be part of your paradigm. Your paradigm is your system of beliefs or the way you believe about stuff based upon your beliefs. So the paradigm is like your system, how you view the world. It's like how I look at things. I look at things this way because, you know, this is what I believe, right? And the beliefs come from your conscious mind. So now let's take a, you know, overview, a basic overview of this. So your subconscious mind is your hard drive, okay? Your conscious mind is your operating software, and we're all plugged into the network or consciousness, okay? Or, you know, that energy that's in you? That energy that's in you is in me too. It's in your neighbors too. It's in everybody outside too. It's in everybody down the street too, okay? And collectively, we call that consciousness, and you're all hooked into that, believe it or not. You don't have to believe it, okay? But you're not your body. You're not your name. You are that energy that lives in there. Now, I work with that energy every day. I've worked with that energy for 34 years as a profession. And I can tell you that I can take someone's energy and cultivate it. I can cultivate that energy, and it's called energy, frequency, and vibration. And I can cultivate that in a person, and it will change their lives. And if you don't believe me, go look at the reviews. We have only had 5-star reviews. And this, if it's the only thing that I'm proud of in my life, I think it's the reviews. Because I'm not, you know, I don't expect anybody to believe me. Don't believe me. Go believe everybody else. And when you see that confidence is mentioned throughout, like, the whole, you know, batch of, I don't know how many reviews we have. You can look us up on Yelp. We have 5-star reviews. You can look us up on Google under VoiceMaster Vocal Development. Only 5-star reviews, like 30-something of them. They stopped taking reviews from us. I don't know why. It was during the pandemic, and they said, oh, no more reviews, so they stopped. And so, like, I'm, you know, and I called them, and I said, hey, you know, there's other people said they left reviews. Other people say they see them. I just can't see them. Maybe there's more there. I don't know. But to my knowledge, they cut it off. They stopped. Now, we're on Trustpilot. If you go on Trustpilot.com, okay, go on Trustpilot.com and look for VoiceMaster Vocal Development on Trustpilot. We have 41 5-star reviews, and they keep growing. You know, they keep growing because people are happy. If you go on Here For You Life Coaching, right, we have 38 5-star reviews, not one 4-star, not one 4.5-star. They're all 5-star reviews. And I'm not flexing, you know, this because, like, I'm supposed to be the man. No, I am saying that this happens because we work with the energy within the human being, okay? We know how to manipulate energy, okay? When you know how to manipulate your energy, when you learn how, because I know how, I learned how. Now, when you learn how to manipulate that energy, how to cultivate that energy, and how to use that energy, okay, you don't have to worry about negative thinking. It comes, but you know what? You get to push it away like this. No, not today. Not right now. No. Do you get mad? Of course you still get mad. Yes, I get mad. But here's the secret. You want to know the secret? When you get mad, Hawaiians, let it all out now. Don't hold it in. Okay, if you're going to yell, yell. Okay, go in your pillow. If you don't want to disturb people in your house, yell in a pillow, whatever. But get that energy, that negative energy, get it out now, okay? Because when you hold it in, okay, when you hold that negative tension in, when you hold that negativity in, guess what's going to happen? It affects your cells. It affects you at the cellular level, and you will get sick. And all of a sudden, you're going to the hospital going, hey, you know, I don't feel good. And the doctor goes, oh, you know what? You have this. Oh, you know what? You have that. Oh, you know what? Your kidney's not working good. Oh, you know what? You know, this is not working good. Okay? And this is why at my age, I have no ailments. I have no aches and pains, like nothing. I get up. I am happy in the morning. I say, thank you, Father God. Thank you that I'm alive. Thank you that, you know, thank you that I'm here. Thank you, you know. And gratitude is a large part of this, Hawaiians. You got to be grateful. If it's one thing you do, okay, is when you walk around, just look at stuff and say thank you. Just look around and say thank you. Don't wait till you get old to be grateful. I started being grateful at 28 because I was told that if you're grateful, you know, you'll keep getting more stuff. And I wanted more stuff. I admit it was selfish. And so I started saying thank you for everything. And guess what happened? I started getting more. And I keep getting more. And the more I get, the more I say thank you. And the more I say thank you, the more I get. And that's really all I know, Hawaiians. And I tell you what, it will work. Oh, sorry. Sorry, I gotta go. But yeah, Hawaiians, it will work for you too, guaranteed. Oh, we gotta say mahalo to Brother Randy, Sister Jerry, over there at Island Club and Spa, my favorite in Kaka'ako. Yay! Our sponsors for the podcast, also Voice Master Family of Service Companies, and of course, AFMHawaiiMusic.com, featuring the music of Brother Darren Chinen and his show. Just check it out. It's at AFMHawaiiMusic.com. Until next time, I'm Junior saying mahalo and aloha!